I appreciate very much the message that Elder Mosley has brought forth and desire continued interest in your prayers the time that we stand before you. I received a message last week that a dear friend of mine in West Texas had passed away. Some of you may have heard of Brother Harvey Bass. His wife, Sister Marie Bass, was a dear faithful sister in the church. And everywhere that Brother Harvey went, he would quote this verse. We've used it here a number of times, but they sent me some pictures of the family, and then even a picture of the tombstone. And on the tombstone, this verse was inscribed. Psalm 48, verse 2. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Mount Zion is symbolic and representative of the Church of Jesus Christ. So hold on to that thought, because that establishes the principle that it's the greatest joy, it's the greatest delight on this earth. It should be the greatest joy and the greatest delight on earth. What a blessing it is when we meet individuals that you can tell by their life, you can tell by their example, that it is the greatest joy on earth to them. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that have to do with the church, the Lord's kingdom here on earth. Yesterday, I had the privilege of preaching in upstate New York, in Roxbury, New York. I've been traveling there for between 15 and 20 years. I can't remember. Several of you have been with me on that particular trip. We stayed overnight in a home up there. And through the years, it's been a great blessing. One of the last living trustees had passed away, and I was made aware of that. And so I really didn't know if we were going to even be able to have ongoing services. I think James went on one of the trips up there and some of the others. And so we went to the meeting place, and there had been some communication with people that were in the town that had said that they wanted to continue the tradition of having an annual service. They had announced it. They put a sign out front of it's referred to as the Yellow Meeting House. And they put it on public television. This is a church that was constituted in the early 1800s, I think 1801, and the building was built in the early 1800s. And for many years was a haven for the Lord's people to meet. The last minister passed away in 1941. And so after that, they had traveling ministers, and the church continued to decline to the point that they ceased meeting, probably in the 60s, I think, is when it was. I can relate to the songwriter in the song that he writes of mixtures of joys and sorrows. It was a joy because there were about 25 people that came to the service. 21 or 2 stayed. There were some young folks that were there. Most of those folks had never been there before. There were 2 or 3 that had. Generally speaking, the folks are usually elderly. In fact, a lot of those church groups up in the north have never witnessed young children in a worship service at all. One elderly gentleman, 83 years old, gets up and shares the testimony of his memories of a child. He said, "I remember as a child, 6 years old, walking alongside my parents and grandparents as they were singing hymns and would walk up to the nearby creek about a block and a half away. It's out in the country, beautiful, beautiful setting." He said they would sing as they would go down, and he said, "I remember the minister." He said, the one thing that stood out in my mind is There was singing that continued as they walked down into the creek. And he said, and his term was, the preacher would dunk them in the water. He said, I remember that. He said, I remember having meals outside and tables spread and folks would bring food and we'd have tremendous times of worship and fellowship. He said, those were special times. And he said, but most of my life, the church has not met here at this location. It ceased. I say mixtures of joys and sorrows because anytime the Lord sends a group of folks to worship the Lord, that's a blessing and that's a miracle from the Lord. At the end of the service, one young lady said, it would be wonderful. She said, I drove here from New Jersey. She says, I was related to old Elder Bellows, one of the last living preachers here. She said, would it be possible to have another service in the fall of the year? It's a great blessing. But then, both before and after services, there was a group of townspeople there. One was a historian. One was a teacher. One was an elderly gentleman. And they said, we'd like to form... They asked me a whole list of questions about what they refer to as old school Baptist. They said, where's the headquarters of the old Baptist? And how could we get a hold of the folks in charge? They said, what's the difference in old school Baptist and Baptist? They said, what about some musical instruments? We noticed there's not any musical instruments. In fact, there's not even electricity in the building. There were a whole lot of other questions, and some were pretty secular that it continued. But they wanted to have some measure of control of the meeting place. And they wanted to open it up for all kinds of community functions and activities. They said, we'll see that the building's painted. We'll see that it's taken care of. We'll see that the grounds are kept. But we'd like to open it up to the folks in the community. I hit a sore note with them. They said, we want to open it up for weddings. I said, well, it'd probably be good in light of the recent ruling of the Supreme Court that we make sure that it's in the bylaws that old Baptists understand that marriage is between one man and one woman. And this elderly gentleman spoke up. And he said, sir, we have folks in our community that are gay. And he said, we're friendly to them and they're cordial to us. And we don't get involved in their lifestyle. And I said, we believe that the scriptures teach clearly the definition of marriage. And that predates the Supreme Court by about 4,000 years. And our forefathers that established this building, they wanted this building used to serve the Lord, for the Lord's people. The sad part that grieves me is that there's not a church there. Church is not the building. Church is the congregation. I left rejoicing that God had blessed a little group of people to come and worship the Lord. But there was a part of me that thought, I'm just going to let the Lord take care of that area of the country and I'm satisfied staying in Maryland and focusing further south if the Lord opens doors. Let me share a verse that came to mind. I was going to preach on this several weeks ago, but it really jumped out to me since this weekend. Jeremiah says, "Wherefore dost thou forget us forever?" Jeremiah asking and presenting this to the Lord. "Lord, it looks like that you forgot us. Lord, it looks like you forgot your church. What happened to it?" He says, "Lord, it looks like you forgot us." He says, "Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long a time?" You know, when the Lord turns His face just a little bit, for a short time, it can seem like a long time. A short time of the Lord removing a little bit of His grace and mercy and restraining grace seems like a long time. And it may have been a long time here, but look what He says. "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned." And He says, "Lord, I want you to turn us." Well, first of all, Jeremiah is going to the right source. Jeremiah is going to the right place. But he says, "I want you to turn us, Lord." And then he says, "Renew our days as of old." Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I long for the good old days"? Enjoyed visiting with Susan's sister this morning, and she told us about the good old days. Back when Preacher Thompson and they had all day meetings, and the Lord blessed those times of worship. Anybody ever, in your own mind, you long for the good old days? You long for the days that it seemed like? I appreciated Brother Asa's message on the Holy Spirit, and I appreciated Elder Aquino's message on the Holy Spirit. And do you remember the good old days when you knew that the Holy Spirit was blessing the worship service? We were blessed with one of those good old days just about a month ago, when we had the June meeting, and God blessed with His Holy Spirit, and He poured out His Spirit upon the preaching of the gospel, upon the singing of hymns, and our hearts were made to rejoice. Jeremiah says, he says, "Lord, would you turn us unto you, and Lord, would you renew our days as of old?" Would you renew our days as of old? 20 plus years ago, after a meeting at Hopewell, New Jersey, Steve and Kathy Parker presented me with this song framed. I'll read it to you. And this describes sadly the lot of the church that I attended up in New York and many, many others. Pay particular attention to the words. It's in our book, but only 4 verses. This is all 10 verses. Brother Steve made reference to this in his prayer. "Savior, visit thy plantation." That's his church. That's his people. "Savior, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Keep no longer at a distance." Brother Asa praying that the Holy Spirit would bless us. "Lord, keep no longer at a distance, but shine upon us from on high, lest for want of thine assistance every plant should droop and die." I want to throw this in without forgetting to emphasize this to you. It gripped my heart to think that 20, 30, 50, 80, 100 years from now, Mount Carmel could experience the very same thing that occurred up in Roxbury, New York. He says, "Surely once thy garden flourished. Every part looked gay and green. Then thy word our spirits nourished. Happy seasons we have seen. But a drought has since succeeded, and a sad decline we see. Lord, thy help is greatly needed. Help can only come from thee. Where are those we counted leaders, filled with zeal and love and truth? old professors, tall as cedars, bright examples of our youth. Some in whom we once delighted, we shall meet no more below. Some, alas, we fear are blighted. Scarce a single leaf they show. Younger plants, the sight how pleasant, covered thick with blossom stood. He's referring to young people right here. He says it's a blessing to have the young people, but he says, where are they? He says, younger plants, the sight how pleasant, covered thick with blossom stood, but they cause us grief at present. Anybody ever relate to that? They cause us grief at present. Frost has nipped them in the bud. Dearest Savior, hasten hither. Thou canst make them bloom again. Oh, permit them not to wither. Let not all our hopes be vain. Let our mutual love be fervent. Make us prevalent in prayer. Let each one esteemed thy servant shun the world's bewitching snares. Elder Aquino prayed for the young people last week, specifically addressing this. Break the tempter's fatal power. Turn the stony heart to flesh. And begin from this good hour to revive thy work afresh. Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Lord, revive us. Oh, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Jeremiah, in Lamentations, gives an account of the destruction of Jerusalem. And as you read through it, it's almost symbolic and almost descriptive of the decline spiritually that we experience in our nation today. Specifically, even within the Lord's kingdom. Not only in our nation and in our land as the nation decays with direction that it's going, but even in the Lord's church. He starts out and he says this. He says, how doth the city set solitary that was so full of people? Well, what happened? Where are the people? Are they all out in the cemetery? Or where are their kids? Where are their grandkids? We had the blessing years ago of having a service on Thanksgiving, the Sunday either before or after Thanksgiving, and it was referred to as Family Day, and folks invited their children and their grandchildren, and we had cards that folks sent out to invite their families to come. It was probably in the late 90s when we had this. And one family, Brother and Sister Pope, one family had sent out about 50 invitations to their different family members. Brother Pope came up and he said, Brother Stephen, I think we are going to have about 40 people from our family that's going to come and worship on Family Day. 43 people came from Brother Pope's family. That was only representative of one family. Where are they? Where are they? Not everybody's in the cemetery. Where are the kids? Where are the grandkids? Where are the great-grandkids? Did you know that if the Lord blessed only for the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to stay active in the Lord's church, we would probably be building new buildings? Brother Phil Irwin said that the first new building he saw was in Nashville. How many of you here have ever seen a new church building among the old Baptists? We knocked out a few walls and we added some to it. But did you know that if only the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren were in the Lord's church, we'd be building some new buildings. But where are they? Jeremiah says, this city that was so full of people, he says, where are they? He says, how is she? She's now like a widow. A widow is one that's in sorrow. A widow is one that feels alone. It says, she's now like a widow. She that was great among the nations. She that was great among the nations is now a tributary. Now what's left of her, she pays tribute to others. And yet she was the city that was set up on the hill. When the forefathers built those buildings, I refer to the New England area simply because that's what I'm more familiar with. But when they built those buildings, they used the very best that they had. There are towns that they set them in a location in which it's almost like the city where it was set, where the light was set up on a hill. There's many of the little towns that the church building was built, not out in the middle of nowhere, but right there where the people were and up on a hill. And it seems like the way the location is that people would flow onto it and they would travel up the hill. Where are the people? I'm going to just hit a few verses for time's sake right here in Lamentations and encourage you. It's only five short chapters. Please go home and read the five short chapters. My pastor used to give us homework. He'd say, go home and read this. This will be a blessing for you if you'll go home and read it. The five short chapters of Lamentations. And boy, you see if it doesn't make you think, this is the day in which we're living in. I can relate to Jeremiah. He says in verse 4, the ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. Her gates are afflicted, her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are chief, her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into the captivity before the enemy. Wow. That sounds like it's talking about 2015. Isn't it mournful when you think about the kids and how they're not here? Isn't it mournful when, look at what he says, the children are gone into captivity of the enemy. Well, you know, it starts with the old devil himself. But the old devil himself works it. Now, he's not going to just stand up there in a brand new suit and tie and tell you, my name's the devil and I want you to follow me. No, he's going to paint a whole lot of attractive enticements for you to follow that get your attention away from God and away from His church. And he's going to work real slow. You see, the devil, he's not in a hurry. He takes his time. He says, the children are gone. And he says, the ways of Zion, the ways of the church, they do mourn. Well, I ask you, is the church just for old folks? Is it just for us when we get to old age? I believe the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's for every age. Oh, it's especially for old folks, and what a blessing it is. But the church is for young folks too. And we ought to be praying more and more. The church is referred to as the house of prayer. We ought to be praying more and more for the young folks. I'm going to just read a few more verses here, and please go through and read all of this. He says, Jeremiah said to the folks, he says in verse 12, he said, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? When I go to these other meeting places and there's a cemetery around, I like to get there early and I like to walk around and I like to pray and I like to meditate and I like to think. But when I go to a place where the Lord has removed the candlestick and they no longer meet and the people are not there, it grieves my heart. And I can relate to what Jeremiah says right here. He says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. For above he hath sent fire in my bones, and it prevaileth against them." Jeremiah relating his own feelings here about it. In verse 19, he says, "Where are the elders?" He said, "I called for the elders." He says, "My priest and mine elders gave up the ghost in the city while they sought their meat to relieve their souls." They died. They're gone. In chapter 2, he says, "He hath taken away his tabernacle as if it were a garden. He hath destroyed his places of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and the Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. And hath despised in the indignation his anger, the king and the priest." Says he's even forgotten. He's even caused them to forget about the solemn feast and the Sabbaths in Zion. In verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, "Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed, broken the bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more." There's no more reference to God's word. No more reference to the Bible. We were having one service up there about 5 years ago, and I've shared this with you. A lady came up after services, and she said, "I see that you delivered the message, and that you read and you referenced God's Word." She said, "There isn't a single place that I know that I can travel to and hear a message on a Sunday morning that comes from God's Word." She says the messages are written out. The messages are put together by a main office, a group of folks, and they're sent to the preacher, and the preacher is to deliver that message. But she says it does not come from God's Word. She says, "I don't know a single place that I can go and hear a message out of God's Word." Now, that's pretty sad. He says, "The law is no more." And then he says, "And what few prophets are left?" He says, "What few preachers are left?" He says, "They have no vision from the Lord. The Lord has shut the door. The Lord has closed the door. They have no vision from the Lord. They don't have a message to deliver. They don't have the Spirit to deliver it." He says, because they have no vision. Verse 15. All that pass by, the folks that live in the community, the folks that live in the cities, he says, all that pass by, they clap their hands at thee. They hiss and they wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, "Is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty and the joy of the whole earth? Is this what people say is the greatest joy on earth? Where are they?" Are we wrong? Have we missed the mark? Have we missed the mark that maybe it really isn't the Lord's church? Maybe we're wrong about the doctrine. Maybe we're wrong about the practice. Maybe we've missed the mark. Maybe we didn't stay in tune with the young people and the needs of the young people. And maybe we're off base. They say, "You say This is the joy of the whole earth. And it's an empty, run-down, unpainted building that's standing there with nobody to come in and preach, nobody to come in and hear the Word. And you say this is the greatest place on earth? Said people walk by, they make light of it, they mock it. Please go through and read all of the chapter, all the five chapters. It'll be really, really encouraging to you. You say, well, I'm not very encouraged right now. Well, Jeremiah wasn't very encouraged. And I mean, it gets worse before it gets better. Jeremiah, he gets to the point, he says, man, I didn't sign up for this job. I don't like this job. I wish the Lord would give this to somebody else. I'm out of here. You ever thought about that? When I drove away yesterday, there was a part of me that said, if I don't ever go back again, that suits me fine. And there was another part of me that said, there's a little handful of people that did rejoice. And that's what keeps you turning the car around and going back. Look at what Jeremiah says. It just gets worse. And then all of a sudden, right here in the midst of this little five chapters, Jeremiah, he's so low, he's so despondent, he's so overwhelmed, he's so ready to pitch in the towel, he's so ready to give up, he's so ready to say, maybe we've missed the mark altogether. Is it even worth it? And then look what he says right here. He says, you know, the Lord's marked me almost as an arrow, as a target for His arrows. I feel like His hand's heavy upon me. It's heavy upon His church. It's heavy upon His people. He says, my prosperity is so far behind me. I don't know if I've ever really had prosperity. And then he comes out and he says, right here in the middle of this chapter, right in the middle of chapter 3, he said, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to say, I missed the mark. This isn't the Lord's church. I wasn't called to do this. I should be doing something else. I'm out of here. And right when he says that, look at what he says. He says, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. He says, remembering mine affliction and my misery and the wormwood and the gall. He says, yeah, it's hard. He says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. He says, all of a sudden, I remember those good old days. All of a sudden, I remember those days of old. All of a sudden, I remember that Holy Spirit blessing the service. And he says, this I recall to mind. He says, therefore I have hope. He says, it's of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. He says, I don't deserve a thing. I don't deserve the past blessings of the Lord. I don't deserve the current blessings of the Lord. He says, bottom line is, it's of God's mercies that I'm not consumed. It's because of His compassions that I haven't failed up to this point. He says, it's of the Lord's mercies. There we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. He says, they are new every morning. And then I think this song was called out this morning. He says, His mercies, His compassions are new every day. So even though it may look like the times are dark in the land in which we live, we may be saying, hey, I'm ready to move to another country because of all the sinfulness that's going on. You may get despondent in the land in which you live. You may see all of the fiery darts that Satan is launching upon the young folks, and that may get you so discouraged that you say, I'm going to take my four and we're out of here. You may get so discouraged when you go and see these empty buildings that you say, maybe I missed the mark, maybe I don't have it together. And then all of a sudden, right when you're right down at the lowest point, that's how the Lord works. Here He comes along and He picks you up. And he says, I really don't deserve anything more than this. If it wasn't for the Lord's mercy, I would have pitched in the towel. If it wasn't for the Lord's mercy, I would have given up. If it wasn't for the Lord's mercy, I would have turned back. But he said, all of a sudden, he comes along and he says, his mercies, and this is good news for us. You say, well, he gave me mercy yesterday. He gave me grace yesterday. He helped me last month. He helped me when I was in my 50s. But I don't know if he's going to help me in my 60s or 70s. He helped me before my kids reached the teenage years. But my goodness, I have challenges now. And they have challenges that I don't know. He said, his mercies are new. That's exciting because they're fresh. You'll experience a mercy maybe today that you didn't experience before. Maybe you didn't need the same mercy yesterday that you need today. And he says, but his mercies are new every day. So no matter what your trial or your despondency or your difficulty is, he's got a brand new mercy just for you. And he's got your name on it. And it's tailor-made just for you. He says his mercies are new every day. Jeremiah said, this is what keeps me keeping on. Because in myself, I just want to think I've missed the mark. We're past time, and I'm just going to briefly mention a couple of things that you say, well, what does this mean? What do I do? I hope that Mount Carmel, at Wilmington, at Black Rock, at Columbia, I'm sure I've missed some others, Southampton, that are local. I hope that they continue for another 100, 200, 300 years. It's the Lord's church. He just blesses us to live in it and labor in it. But I think some things that we ought to do are some lessons that Jeremiah laid out for us. We ought to run to the Lord. And as individuals, and as church bodies and church families, we ought to ask the Lord to forgive us and bless us with repentance for our sinful ways. We ought to pray that the Lord would turn us again unto Him. We ought to pray as Jesus Christ instructs us in Matthew chapter 9. He says the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. He says pray that the Lord's going to raise up laborers. Little Asa, I'm praying that you'll be a preacher just like your dad. We ought to be praying for the young men. But do you know what? You ought to be praying for the preachers that the Lord sends you. Satan throws, I don't know about Brother Asa and Brother Steve, but Satan throws the fiery darts of discouragement to the point. You say, is it worth it? You ought to pray for the preachers that God has sent you, and you ought to pray that He'll raise up more preachers. We ought to, by our life, by our example, to those that are around us, we ought to put the Lord first in our life. We ought to put His kingdom and His people and His church first in our life. And we ought to pray that God would protect the little churches from the assaults of Satan. And that He would bless, as Elder Aquino and Elder Mosley have ably preached, that there would be an outpouring of His Holy Spirit within His churches. Where does it start? you might say, it starts with the preachers. You might say it starts with the old folks. If you're young, you might say, I'm exempt from this. No, it starts with every single one of us. We've had the great blessing in this area of having some faithful, committed saints that are now with the Lord. And they picked up that torch and they carried it faithfully. Church was a priority for them. Some folks build their life around church, and some folks build the church around their life. We've had some great examples of some faithful old brothers and sisters that have gone on to be with the Lord, that it was a priority in their life. Sister Judy, your dad was one of them. Brother Stamper, Brother Compton, Brother Pope. And there's a place for us to... We can't live in the past. I'm talking to myself. Believe me, when I'm up here preaching, I'm talking to myself more than anybody else. I get a great blessing from thinking about those brothers and sisters that have gone on to be with the Lord. But did you know that we cannot live in the past? Our young folks here deserve better than that. They deserve to have the same visions and the same experiences that we did with those that have gone on to be with the Lord. But it now isn't on the shoulders of the Popes and the Rogers and the Jacksons. That torch has been passed to us. How are we going to carry it? Are we going to take it like the individual that was given one talent? He says, boy, I've got this talent here. I'm going to take it and I'm going to hide it and I'm going to hold to it and I'm going to save it. Are we going to do like the individual that was blessed with two and another one blessed with five? Did you know that I know a little bit about most of you here? And I know this much. I don't know a lot, but I know this much about every one of you here. Every one of you here have been blessed with multiple talents. I can tell you this much. There's not one of you here that has not received a talent or a gift or a blessing from God. And everybody here has been given not just one, but multiple talents. He refers to one person having one having two, one having five, and they used them and they multiplied. Did you know that I know enough about you to know that God has given you multiple talents? Multiple talents. This morning in talking to Sister Jane, Susan's sister, we were talking about the gifts and talents and blessings that Susan has. I mean, everybody here's benefited from her homemade chocolate chip cookies. That's a gift and blessing from the Lord, an encouragement. How she ministers to kids in many areas. But the thing that I ask you is, are we using those talents and those gifts that God's given us? If we don't use them, He may take them, give them to somebody that will. We've got that example in His Word. He doesn't call us and ask us to do something that He doesn't also give us the ability to do. All we're required to do is be faithful with what He's given us. Pray that, yes, the Lord will turn us unto Him and that He'll renew our days as of old. May God bless you.